next on The Wonder Years.
Dad, can I be a caddy?
Don't fall in a lake.
Caddy?
What do I sign up?
Isn't he a little small to be a caddy?
I can carry my weight.
Let's just see what these old clubs can do.
Damn! Just keep the clubs clean, will you?
Caddy! Let's hustle it up, huh?
The point is, the guy's busted my hump. The point is...
And the thing is, after all these years, I still look back with wonder.
Hey there, Wonderlings. Angela Bowen here, the host of Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast. Well, today is the first of four episodes of the jobs segment of Kevin's Jobs. The first one is season 4, episode 4, entitled The Cost of Living, which aired on October 10th, 1990. With his allowance not going as far as he hopes, Kevin takes a job as a caddy at a local golf course. However, Kevin is dismayed when he finds out that he's caddying for his dad's boss at Norcom, who just happens to be playing golf against Jack Arnold, Kevin's dad. God, that's a conflict of interest if I've ever heard of one. There's a couple songs that play in this episode. We have Working in a Coal Mine, performed by Lee Dorsey, and the Gold Digger song, and then in parentheses it says, We're in the Money, which looks like it's written and performed by Harry Warren, Al Dubin, and Ginger Rogers. And I got the Wonder Years booklet out for season 4. And pop quiz, what dollar amount would Kevin's 1970 allowance of $2 be equivalent to today? And the answer is, $2 in 1970 would translate to approximately $12.50 today, which is apparently higher than average for a 14-year-old. So Kevin wasn't doing too bad. So the episode opens on a television screen and we see the almighty dollar. So I'm sure Jack's like watching the news or something and just basically how to stretch a buck in these times. So we see Jack sitting at the dining room table. Of course, he's got a stack of what looks to be bills. That is a lot of bills. And of course, he's irritated because who wouldn't be when they got to pay their bills? Like, ugh. So I'm going to play this clip.
We'll be back with more news. $40. Unbelievable.
Every Sunday night, once the dishes were clear, my father would referee a battle between his income and his outgo.
$16.34 for the damn phone company?
And from the looks of it, the outgo packed some pretty fair punches.
Who the hell's been leaving the lights on?
Spectators who knew the circuit laid low.
Highway robbery.
By the time the final blow had landed, that old income would be reduced to such a measly balance that in our house we had a word for that negligible chunk of change.
Allowance!
There's the word. Allowance.
One.
The lifeblood of adolescence.
Two. Three.
The fine line between expectation.
Four.
And reality.
$4 again?
Not to imply we weren't grateful for Dad's largesse. We just weren't.
Come on, Dad, give me a break here. I gotta live, you know. I mean, gas, girls.
But when it came to taking pity on our financial lifestyles, Dad was impervious.
You know what the problem with you boys is? You don't understand the value of the dollar. When I was your age, I had to walk to school. 30 miles. Blizzard. Outdoor plumbing.
Faced with a barrage of this magnitude, resistance was futile.
Four beans? I can't believe this.
Still no sense looking a gift horse in the mouth, especially one the size of my father.
Here, Dad.
One. Two.
getting around it.
Thanks.
The buck stopped here. You can't squeeze sympathy from a stone.
So Jack's upset. The phone bill is $16. Jack, you want to pay my cell phone bill? It's around $80. And that's just for one phone. My good golly. When I was living at home growing up, I think our phone bill was at least well under $100. It was probably somewhere in the range of maybe 30, maybe 50. It really depends. See, back in the day, and I'm thinking of like the early mid 90s-ish, you know, when I had a friend that lived long distance. Which was, in terms long distance, meant from Lowell to like Greenville, which is maybe 20-some miles away. It's still long distance, so of course those calls cost extra. So, and of course there was that time that I was calling that 1-900 number for the soap opera hotline, which pretty much would tell you what's, you know, spoilers to come for the next week. Yeah, let's just say I ran up the phone bill with that. I think it was like close to 100, if not over. So after Jack's done paying the bills, he calls Wayne and Kevin over for allowance. Wayne gets $4 because he's what, 2-3 years older than Kevin. Kevin gets $2. Of course, Kevin doesn't complain. You know, he tries to be cool about it. Like, yeah, thanks, Dad. But we all know Wayne, guys. We know how he is. Of course he's gonna bitch and complain. Four beans! Are you kidding me? I gotta live, you know. Cars, girls. And of course Jack just rolls his eyes like, yeah, I don't care. And it's like, seriously, Wayne, get a job. Wait a sec. So did he get fired from that job that was... Wait, hold on. This is season 4. Season 3 at the end would have been Karen graduating. We would have seen Wayne at a job. So, did his hours get reduced? Did he get fired? I mean, why am I even asking? Of course Wayne got fired, because he doesn't take anything seriously. So now we're in school the next day, and of course, Doug is back. This is season 4, so we get Doug. And he's, of course, complaining, like, 20 cents for a nutty buddy. That's a jip. How much you want to guess that one of those Nutty Buddy things nowadays will probably cost at least over $2 or more? So, yep, it's lunchtime, and the boys are all discussing allowances, like how much they get and everything. So, Paul's like, hey, check out Mark Kolvinsky, who's got this sweet-ass suede jacket, very hot, and, turns out, I guess he works as a caddy and he makes major bank. Some guys that even tip like $20. And this guy is played by Justin Weiland. He played Andy Barkley number two in Child's Play 3. He was also in another episode of The Wonder Years. He was in the episode entitled Fate with Eddie Panetti. He was one of the other goons, or lackey, or whatever, that was probably holding Paul in a headlock or something. Yeah, no, I remember, because I thought he was wearing like a jean jacket over a turtleneck. Of course, we see this Mark guy, and he's got the girls drooling over him in this jacket. As Kevin refers to him as the Howard Hughes of RFK. My good golly, this boy! He is schmoozing up the ladies! Takes one girl by the hand and kisses her hand. This guy is a womanizer, ladies' man. That jacket he's wearing also has, like, some bedazzled jewels, like, encrusted around the outline of the pocket on the front, too. And Kevin's like, on our allowances, we would never afford that jacket. And Paul's like, yeah, I know, $5 a week just does not cut it anymore. And Kevin's looking at him like, what? You get $5 a week? Ah! But then again, think about it. Kevin's dad works at Norcom. Paul's dad is an ophthalmologist or an eye doctor or whatever. So he's clearly making bank. He can afford to give Paul $5 a week. Which, I kind of wonder, so when Karen was living there, did she get an allowance, or was it just the boys? Or did he just start doing this after Karen moved, went away to college? So I want to play this clip here.
20 cents for a nutty buddy.
Sympathy from those in my tax bracket, however, was easier to come by.
I'm barely getting by as it is.
Unbelievable. By the fall of ninth grade, poverty was making paupers of us all. Most of us, anyway.
Whoa. Check out Kovinsky.
Mark Kovinsky, the Howard Hughes of RFK. He had more money than General Motors. Naturally, we all admired him.
I hate him.
A jacket must have cost a fortune.
What I wouldn't give for that wardrobe.
And our allowances? Forget it.
Facts were facts. In macroeconomic terms,
$5 a week just doesn't go as far as it used to.
Wait a minute. Did he say...
$5 a week?
Pretty disgusting, huh?
Yeah, I'll say.
Yeah, pretty soon I'm gonna have to dip into my savings account.
Paul was building an investment portfolio while I was living on cold beans.
$5 a week.
Fine, what are you getting?
Oh, it's in the $5 ballpark.
Uh-huh, if the ballpark was the size of Kansas.
This is almost embarrassing. Oh, but don't tell anyone, okay? I don't want him to think my father's cheap.
Oh, no, that'll work.
But suddenly, one thing was clear.
So, of course, Paul thinks $5 a week is just ridiculous. It's just, it doesn't go as far as it should. Meanwhile, Kevin's getting pay measly $2 a week that probably doesn't go anywhere. Well, okay, remember at the end of season 2 during that the Cooper's barbecue thing? Kevin said that summer he mowed lawns and stuff and everything. So it's like you're not happy with $2 a week. That's it sucks. Yeah, but you still have opportunities to go out there and make money like you did that one summer. You were mowing lawns. You could probably even be doing other forms of yard work for people or something else to be earning extra money. Because he's only... I don't think he's even 14 yet, is he? I don't... This is season 4. He might be 14. And I know that I'm not sure what the hiring age is. It's got to be, 15, 16. So it's not like he can go to a restaurant, ask for an app or anything like that because he's too young. Child labor laws. But I seem to remember back in the day when I first started working back in 1999, I think, was it Meijer that had the hiring age for, like, just for a bagger, you could be, like, 14, 15. So, real quick, I want to talk about my first job. Summer 1999, in June. School let out, got my license, I had a car to drive, and I ended up working at the Burger King in Lowell. That was my first job. I also worked there two other times. But the first time, you know, I had a uniform and everything, and I was nervous. They stuck me on back cash. And this, remind you guys that this is 1999. And all I had was a thing of, you know, dollar, you know, basically bills and change. There wasn't a register back there, and it wasn't 100%. On the making change part and everything. Basically, I get the slip of what the total was for the order that was placed, and then I would take the change from the customer and then make change and give that back to them. I didn't even see my first paycheck for over 3 weeks, or I think it was a month. And then I ended up getting let go because my drawer was short, like a few times. I was never told this prior to. And I remember the day I was let go. It was raining cats and dogs out. And I still didn't know how to work the defrost in my car because I was a little new on some of those things. So I had to stop at, like, this little convenience store to wait it out. Then I went up to the farm and I told my dad about it. He's like, you didn't like that job anyway. So it wasn't a big, big deal. After that, I believe I did work for about a month or so at Mickey D's through July. And then in August, I started at Family Fair. So I kind of went through, and Family Fair, I kept that job for over a year. So, and I even went, you know, worked there while I was in school of my junior year and everything like that. So, but that was my foray into the job world. Before that, I would have just been kind of a babysitter for my sister's kids who are, 3 out of 4 of them are all pretty much graduating out of high school now. Well, one of them will be graduating next month, but. And I don't even think my dad even really gave me an allowance until I was way late into my teens. I think he gave me like $5 for like picking up the house or cleaning the house or something like that. So, Kevin's dissatisfied with what he's getting. The $2 a week is chump change. So he decides to corner his dad in the kitchen right as he comes in through the door from work. Probably not the best time to be bringing something like that up. You might want to wait until after dinner. Or maybe right before he goes to bed, because we know that Jeff likes to sit in the dark and watch TV. You know, now I always kind of wonder why that house was always so dark, there was hardly any light. Probably because of a high electricity bill. So it looks like Jack's arriving home late, and Norma kind of asks, like, hey, why are you coming home so late? And he's like, Ken Stein is this new guy in management. Like, total piece of shit. So that explains why in season 1, Jack had answered to one manager, and then now he's got another one in season 4, but then in season 6, we'll see the guy who played the principal from The Breakfast Club is then Jack's boss at NORCOM, so that's interesting. He goes through quite a bit, but then again, and this has only been, the show started in, it was 1968, and this is only 1970, so that is 2 years. So Kevin decides anyway, like, after Norma hands Jack a drink, he's headed towards the living room, and Kevin kind of calls him back, like, hey, Dad, do you think maybe I might be able to get a raise in my allowance? And Jack just kind of looks at him first before Kevin even says anything other than, hey, Dad. He's got this look in his eyes like, whatever this is, can it wait? I've had a shit day. You know, he's got a boss who's turning him into his own personal fucking lackey. And he is just grumbling and pissed as fuck. But Kevin's gonna try anyway to see if he can kind of get maybe an extra buck or two a week. Maybe $3. Maybe not 4, but we'll see.
Maybe this wasn't going to be so hard.
Dad?
Maybe Dad and I were thinking along the same lines here. Maybe he'd be sympathetic to the plight of the downtrodden.
It's about my allowance. You know, I've been thinking. I'm in 9th grade now, and, well...
Okay, time for a clincher. Something telling. Something tactful.
Paul's father gives him $5 a week.
Uh-oh. I just broken the cardinal rule of child-parent negotiations. Never compare them to their peers.
You want a raise in your allowance? Fine.
Huh?
But you're gonna have to do some more chores.
Chores?
Chores? I can do chores.
I work hard for my paycheck. You can work hard for yours.
Hard work? No problem.
So Kevin went down the route of saying Paul's dad gives him $5, and Kevin, adult Kevin, is like, oops, nope, that was a wrong thing to say. Yeah, you don't ever compare your situation to that of your friends or your peers, saying, oh, so-and-so's father gives him this much. That's not That's not how that works. And Jack has got a really great way of saying, all right, you want to raise in your allowance? I can do that, but you will have to do more chores. I work hard for my money. You can do the same thing. And now we see Kevin busting his butt, getting all gross and grimy in the backyard, weeding Norma's garden. And might I add, Kevin is doing this barehanded. That's something I honestly would want, a pair of work gloves. If you're going to be pulling weeds, no one likes to get dirt under their fingernail. I don't want to get dirt under my fingernail. I don't like to get my hands really that dirty otherwise, because it freaks me out and then I have to constantly be washing my hands all the time. So now Kevin's like emptying something that's really dusty and dirty. I'm not sure exactly. Is it a laundry filter? I'm not sure. It's something. But Kevin's actually got one of Norma's like handkerchief things that's kind of around his mouth and nose. Well, right now it's kind of pulled down. You should have had that up because that dust is coming up. It's going to get in your nose, in your eyes, in your mouth. Ugh. It looks like a filter. Like, what if it's like an old-fashioned like furnace filter or something like that? So it seems like Kevin's really just doing a lot of yard work. He's got one of those what the heck are they? Jeremy just got something like that for, you know, trimming the like branches and kind of shears, like trimming shears or something like that, like the big ones with the long wooden handles. And he's also just clearing out like a big old tin garbage can and everything. So he's really busting his butt. I'm really like, wow, he wants that extra money. Oh, now he's cleaning out that garbage can. Ew. Jack's also gotten him up on a ladder cleaning out the gutters. Okay, he's doing that barehanded. No, that is nasty. Get some work gloves. Now he's got this giant rug that, I don't know, maybe it's what the kitchen table sits on top of. But I like how he's got it, like, draped over a clothesline, and he's kind of beating it with, a broom, and just getting all the dust and everything. Fred Savage looks like he's having so much fun beating the heck out of that rug. Like, oh, looks like Kevin's done. He is covered in, like, dirt and grime and sweat and stinky, icky nastiness. And Jack comes out. He's dressed in a suit. Looks like he's ready to head to work or something. And this has got to be a weekend. It's not like he's doing this before school, or unless he's doing it after school, but then Jack wouldn't be there just yet. So this has got to be a weekend. He gives him $2, so it says $2, and then I give you the rest of your allowance at the end of the week. And now he's digging in his pocket for change. I'm like, no, seriously, no. He did all of that work for two measly fucking dollars? I would have at least given him $5 or $10. You know, I don't care that it's 1970. That was a lot of stuff, and honestly, I would have... If it were me, I would have had Jack outline, what am I doing, and get, like, a set price as to, I'm doing all of this, let's negotiate on a price for all of this stuff, not $2 plus whatever the fuck change you got in your pocket, because that's bullcrap. I would have felt cheated and angry. And I think this is finally the point where Kevin is like, forget it, this is worthless. I'm just going to go out and, like, find a job that takes 14-year-olds. And I would think any caddy's got to be at least a teenager, at least 13, 14 years old. So what's that, like, 275, 250? He dropped 3 coins in there in Kevin's palm. And Kevin's just looking at it like, what is this Peasley piece of shit? What is this chump change? Pocket change. So, of course, Kevin, the next day at lunch, is bitching to Paul, like, I practically rebuilt the whole house. Well, that's been a little overdramatic, Kevin. You just got some weeds done. You went and, got the garbage out of the gutters. You basically was all mostly yard work and just grouting the gutters. So, it's not like he rebuilt the whole house. It probably felt like that when he was done, covered in grime and sweat, but... And Paul is just kind of looking at Kevin like, oh, well, sucks to be you. How much did he pay you? And Kevin's not going to answer that. He says that's not the point. The point is, Kevin worked his ass off and he got like $2.75. So while Kevin's screaming at Paul about his dad busting his hump and working my ass like a dog, Mark comes up with his sweet-ass suede jacket. He's like, oh, you're working for your dad, eh? Oh, I used to do that too until I got wise and decided to earn some real cash. Legally, of course. So basically, no, I don't know. Is this guy's... No, I'm going to look it up on IMDb because I'm not going to call him Mark if his name is Jim, or maybe Kevin just called him Jim. Okay, we were right the first time. It is, in fact, Jim. So, I mean, it's Mark. I'm sorry. Mark tells him, you know, you don't have to be like your dad, okay? A working man like that. I mean, my dad's a working man, too. But I just woke up one day, realized that's not what I want for myself, and I decided to go about getting a job and earning money on my own. So I'm going to play this clip here.
I can't believe it. I technically rebuilt the whole house.
All right, well, how much did he pay you?
That's not the point. The point is the guy's busted my hump. The point is I'm
working for your dad, huh?
Great. Diamond Jim Kovinsky himself.
Kovinsky, what do you know about it?
Are you kidding?
I started out the same way you did. Bucking for allowance, working for peanuts. And then one day, I woke up.
Huh?
What'd your dad do?
None of your business.
A working man, mine too.
Yeah, so?
So? Who says you have to be like your dad?
Adolescence is filled with moments of great revelation. This was one of them.
Where'd you get that?
On the 18th green of the Whispering Grass golf course. You made 20 bucks caddying? Cash tip. Not bad for 4 hours in the fresh air. You've got two choices, Arnold. Be like your dad. Or be your own man. See ya.
I had only one question.
So, this Mark guy, he does make a very good point. It's like, you could just be doing chores for the rest of your life, getting a measly $2.75 a week, or you can go out and get a job and earn, you know, your own wage. That way, you're not dependent on just what your dad is giving you, you're dependent on yourself. You're learning what it means to really work for the great American dollar. So this is where I gotta ask. Okay, Kevin wants to be a caddy. Great. So they clearly must get paid something, like an actual wage, or are they just caddies that we won't pay you, but you get paid in whatever the golf person that you're caddying for is going to pay you. So I looked it up, and it looks like 14 is, like, where you could do, like, a limited amount of work as far as if you're in school. I think the same thing applies for 16, but aren't there some, like, schools, like, you have to get, like, a school-to-work permit or something like that? So, good old Mark put in Kevin's head, like, hey, you want to make real money, be a caddy. That's what I do. So, later that night during dinner, Kevin asks his dad, like, hey, Dad, do you think it'd be alright if I'm a caddy? And Kevin's like, oh, there's this guy at school. I would not have, like, went into that. And Jack just kind of looks at him like, what do you know about golf? To be a caddy? How much do you really need to know about golf, per se? You're not playing it. You're carrying someone's clubs around. So good old Wayne is like, you a caddy, a wuss like you, no way in hell you're going to be a caddy. And I think Jack even is kind of like, you're a little too small to be a caddy. I don't know if Jack is really all for Kevin being a caddy. Well, Norma is the one that asks, like, sweetie, don't caddies have to carry around those heavy bags? Didn't they have golf carts in 1970? Although, if that were the case, that would kind of put caddies out of a job, because you can just, you know, drive around with your golf cart and your clubs in the back. I loved, when my dad would go golfing, I'd go with him when I was like 8 or 9, and when I was like maybe 11, 12, and my dad would go golfing, I'd sometimes get to drive the golf cart. There's this one time that my dad was golfing with a couple of his buddies and his brother, my Uncle Ken, and they're just sitting there talking, and I was just sitting behind the wheel, and I accidentally, like, pushed on the accelerator, and I ended up kind of running over my Uncle Ken's foot, and I felt so terrible, because they're standing, like, right next to the cart. Kevin's always bringing up the fact that other people are making more money. Like, this Mark Kavinsky guy's making $20 for a whole 18 holes. I don't think telling them how much some kid makes is going to make them want you to do, let you do this. Because Nora's main concern is the bags are really heavy, you aren't a big guy just yet, and the bag will probably weigh as much as you do. I mean, if you got to think about those, the clubs and the just the weight of them, and then you got to add in the golf balls and whatever else goes into those little tees that you put in the ground to put the golf ball on. And Jack's like, you know, I don't know. I don't think so, Kevin. You're not ready for that. If it were me, I wouldn't have asked. I would have just said, hey, I got a part-time job doing something. Is that cool? Okay, bye. Because when you bring up a topic for basic discussion around the table, you're going to get a lot of naysaying. You're going to get a lot of opposition. This is something he could have easily just brought up to his dad, like, or at least went there first to see if you could be a caddy, and then, I don't know. So they're eating dinner and the phone rings, and who is it? It's fucking Ken, Jack's boss. What the hell? Like, don't call me at my house. Norma, I wouldn't even have picked up the phone. Granted, they didn't have caller ID back then, so it could have been Karen calling with an emergency. She could have been in the hospital. Like, what the fuck? So basically, poor Jack is being turned into Ken's yes man. Like, whatever you say, Ken, that's what I'm here for. I feel, oh my god, he is being rung through the ringer. That is not fair. Jack is such a tough, well-to-do guy that he's just being taken advantage of. And what else can he honestly do? He can't get fired from his job because he's paying all the bills. So I want to play this clip of Kevin saying, you know, I want to do the golf thing, be a caddy and all this. And his family like, eh, I don't think you're ready for that.
Dad, can I be a caddy?
Huh?
Well, you see, there's this guy at school.
What do you know about golf? It seemed to me he was missing the point here.
Well, maybe I could learn.
Caddy? A wuss like you?
Shut up, Wayne. Honey? Don't caddies have to carry around all those heavy bags?
Seemed like everyone was missing the point.
Look, Mark Kavinsky makes $20 a round, okay?
There, enough said. The old bottom line. Try saying no to that.
I don't think so.
What?
Hello?
I couldn't believe it.
Jack, it's Ken.
Here I'd laid out a plan for total lifetime financial solvency, and he turns me down?
Thanks. Yeah, Ken. No, don't worry about it. That's what I'm here for. Whatever you say, Ken. Yeah, bye.
Damn. And that's when it hit me. Kavinsky was right. I had two choices. Be like my dad, or be my own man.
So Kevin just decides to go to the golf course and sign up to be a caddy. Like, dad's permission be damned. I don't care.
Where do I sign up?
A free agent. A man of wealth. A caddy.
So, it's Saturday, and Kevin's all dressed up with his polo shirt, his khakis, and his Converse. Looks very sharp. So, Jack had his toolbox on the kitchen table. He's probably got stuff he wants to do. It's Saturday, for fuck's sake. But no, his goddamn boss, Ken, is just asking him to do something. And Jack's like, really? We really need to work on a Saturday? He's like, oh, alright, fine. Whatever you say, bye. That would piss me the fuck off. It's like, you better be fucking paying me. I'm not working weekends for free. So Kevin stands up and he's like, hey, Dad, wish me luck. And Jack just looks at him like, don't fall in the wake at least, alright? So Kevin's sitting on the bench with like 10 other boys waiting to get picked by whoever wants a caddy. Yeah, not including Kevin, there's at least maybe 9 or 10 guys here. And some of them even look to be like 15, 16, 17 years old. That have probably started out at Kevin's age and just kind of come doing this every summer. I mean, I remember when I was like, what was I, probably 13 or so, helping my grandpa out at the Lansing City Market because they ran a fruit stand out there. And just, you know, my grandma even sat with me beforehand and she was helping me learn how to make change and everything for customers. And it was pretty cool. I only did it a couple of times because it was like from 8 a.m. to like 4 in the afternoon. And let me tell you, that day dragged like an ass. It just felt like it took forever to get to 4 o'clock. You know, and I had to get up on the truck and kind of help like push more product off the truck and all that stuff. So kind of just kind of hanging out waiting for his name to be called as it looks like every other boy gets picked before Kevin. Well, my guess is these boys are not new to this. This is probably something they've done for years. So it's no new thing to them. Yeah, pretty much. Kevin is the last person there. Oh, and it's right by a vending machine. I think it might have sodas in it or like cookies or chips or some shit. Unless it's a cigarette machine, but I don't think so. That slot's too big for cigarette machine. Oh, we get a close-up of it. It's got candies in it because Kevin's getting something out of the candy vending machine. I hope those things aren't all melted. I mean, it's sitting there in the sun outside. So Kevin's just kind of hanging there trying to get his candy. Looked like he lost some fucking money on that piece of shit machine. And Mark comes up and says, hey, Arnold, what you doing here? Like, yeah, Kevin's like, yeah, just came to be a caddy. Earned that big 20.
Arnold, what are you doing here?
Oh, I
get it. You're waiting for the big one, aren't you? Remember that $20 tip I told you about? Well, that's the back.
And suddenly I knew. That bag was destined for just one pair of shoulders.
Arnold!
Mine. Yep, my fortune was made. Thanks to patience, tenacity, and of course...
Ken Stein. Looks like we're together for 18.
Kevin.
You got a firm grip there, Kevin. I like a man with a firm grip.
Let's see, firm grip? That'd probably be worth at least $375 right there.
Thanks, Mr. Stein.
Call me Ken.
Ken. It was a good name. A golfer's name. The name?
Son, we're going to have kind of a working session. You don't mind a little shop talk, do you?
Of my father's boss.
Jack, come over here and meet young Kevin. Kevin?
It was a critical juncture.
Jack?
But we handled it well. Like total strangers. Live and let live.
Isn't he a little small to be a caddy?
Make that every man for himself.
Hey! I can carry my weight.
That's the spirit I like to see. Arnold, you want to do the honors?
So the prelims were over. We were on our way.
So Jack's the first to tee off, and he hits it like it does not go well. He ends up hitting it like, in some nearby brush, and his boss, of course, just, like, kind of frowns and looks down and, like, he's embarrassed, like, oh. And Jack, of course, is like, But I like when Kevin comes up there and, shakes hands with Ken Stein, and Ken's like, oh, or Kevin's like, wow, Ken, that's a, Ken Stein, that's a good name. But then he realizes, he sees his dad there, like, no wonder that name was familiar, that's his dad's boss. And Kevin's dad is right there. So, Ken has no idea that Jack and Kevin are father and son. So he's like, oh, Jack, here's my caddy, Kevin, you know each other? And they just play it off like, no, I don't know him. And then Kevin shakes Jack's hands like, oh, Jack, hi. And Jack gives him, like, the, like, crazy eye, like, it's like, you're gonna have to put up with it, Jack. You're supposed to pretend you don't know each other. And, Jack kind of makes a joke about Kevin being like, isn't he a little small to be a caddy? And Kevin, to his defense, is like, hey, I can carry my own weight. I'm like, you probably are. That bag of clubs probably weighs close to what you weigh. So, of course, Ken has to remark on Jack's putting and everything. And he's like, hey, you don't mind if I keep score, do you? And Kevin, or Jack just looks at Ken like, whatever, like, whatever you say. Now Jack's trying to get out of a sand trap as he's getting really frustrated. Well, we all know Jack's golf game is for shit, as he tells Michael in season 5. Like, I hate golf. I don't play it. My game, my putting is for crap. It's garbage. So Ken hits the ball and gets it right onto the green by the flag there, and Kevin's like, nice shot, sir. And of course, Ken, you know, reminds him, like, call me Ken, call me Ken. So, gone is cheery Ken as he misses. Kevin's kind of holding that flag there, and it doesn't go in for Ken. Of course, he's like, dang, damn it, don't. It's like, oh, wow, you're not the pleasant guy that you were when we first met. You're kind of a raging asshole that we'll learn to find out. Kevin, of course, is doing all the math in his head, like, all right, $20 a week times 4. It's like, you're not always gonna make $20. You're not, I don't think he's gonna want to even come anywhere near this golf course if this guy is gonna continue to play there after this whole thing. So Kevin's just trying to be supportive. He's like, you know what, I don't think they clip these greens so well. And Ken kind of looks at him like, you know what? I agree with you. That's very true. I bet they don't. So Ken kind of tells Kevin how he got his start as a caddy. Do you think that shirt, that uniform Kevin's wearing is new? Like, freshly never been worn by another person? Or do you think it's just one that an old caddy used to wear? I would like to hope that it's new and never been worn. Jack is just not doing good. It ends up in the fucking water. My guess is he was trying to go over that pond. I don't think Kevin's holding these clubs correctly in this bag. He's got it straight across his back. What's to say those clubs aren't going to fall out of that bag? I mean, how are you supposed to have it held? Like, kind of the clubs just above your shoulder, maybe? Or he's probably trying to alleviate some of the pressure in his shoulder. So, Ken, of course, is saying that Jack is like 7 strokes behind. And he's like, hey, maybe I can do you a favor. I can start shooting left-handed. And Jack's just like, whatever you say, Ken. He just does not want to be there. So, is Jack getting paid to play golf? Because he's basically taking up an entire Saturday for Jack, where Jack probably could have been working around the house and shit. So Ken's like, hey, how about I get us a couple cool ones, some sodas? And Jack's like, meh, I'm good. Kevin's like, yeah, I could go for a soda right now. So Kevin and Jack kind of sit on the bench and have a little powwow. So I'm going to play that.
I had, plus a shoulder that was killing me.
How you holding up?
What?
It's a big bag, must be heavy.
kill yourself, you know. You can finish with another caddy.
Another caddy? So that was his game.
Hey, you don't have to worry about me, all right?
Suit yourself.
And I would. I didn't need his help.
Here we go.
I had upper management.
Say, Jack, I've been thinking.
And then upper management made one little mistake.
Maybe it's your clubs. They're too old. Cheap, you know? Maybe if you put a little money in your bag, you might give us more of a match, huh?
And suddenly all bets were off.
Well, let's just see what these old clubs can do.
So Kevin is really impressed with Jack. He is really coming around now with the slamming those golf balls across the greens there. But when Jack and Kevin are sitting there, you know, Jack's just kind of feeling a little sympathetic, like, hey, is your shoulder killing you? And we see Kevin's face. It's clearly a hot day. His face is just glistening with sweat. And Kevin's like, it's bugging me a smidge, not a big deal. And Jack's like, you know, you don't have to kill yourself. You know, he can finish with another caddy. Of course Kevin takes offense to this, like, oh, my dad doesn't think I'm good enough or strong enough to do this just because my shoulder's bugging me. He's like, I can handle it. It's fine. Don't worry about me. And Jack's like, just shrugs his shoulders, like, suit yourself. Just trying to be a concerned parent. And I kind of bet that I don't think Jack likes Kevin seeing him like this, being this yes man to Ken and just being rung through the rails or through the ringer like this. I mean, that's got to be embarrassing for Jack. Like, can you imagine, like, say if you were in Jack's position and you're like, your boss is like needling you and just saying you're game is shit and everything, like, oh, you should invest in some new clubs since these are old and cheap. And I would take offense to that. I would be pissed. It's like, you don't talk to my dad that way, dick nut. So Kevin is like, wow, Dad, you go. And of course Ken's like, not bad, Arnold. And Kevin to himself is like, not bad, my dad smoked your ass. So while Jack's game is getting better, Ken's is starting to fucking suffer as he hits a fucking tree with his golf ball. And he's gonna throw a pussy little temper tantrum now. I think Jack is trying to keep a straight face. You fucking suck. Of course, Kevin's got to be supportive because, well, he's the caddy and he wants that $20. So, yeah, Kevin's like, hey, Dad, game's turning to gold and Ken's is turning to crap. As Kevin tries to offer, like, something sympathetic, like, you know, it just was a bad shot. Of course, Ken's pissed. Damn it! If I want your opinion, I will ask you for it, so just keep the clubs clean, alright? That's your job. Not to give me advice. I would have said, $20 be damned. You can take these clubs and shove them up your fucking rectum, Ken. But then again, I'm not Kevin. But I'm sure Kevin eventually is going to get to that point. Like, and Kevin's kind of thinking, because Ken's getting pissed off, that his tip is going to get smaller and that bag feels like it weighs 100 pounds. And poor Kevin is, like, bowed over. That bag is draped across his back. It's not past his shoulders. It's, like, right around the spine, just against the butt. Oh, my goodness. That's gonna... He is gonna not want to do that after that. So Kevin's kind of slowing down in that heat, and you know, Jack and Ken are way up there, and of course, I'm sure Ken is like, kid... Come on, move it. You're slowing down. So it looks like they made it to the last hole, because he said by the time we got to the 18th green, which is they're playing 18 holes. And Ken turns around and is screaming at Kevin, like, Kenny, let's hustle it up, huh? That is not worth $20. That is not worth $20. I mean, that mark, I must have caught Ken on a good golf day. So Ken takes a couple tries to get out of the sand hole, gets it on the green, thinks, oh, it's going to go right in. No, it curves just at the hole. And Ken is so fucking pissed, he throws his fucking club and it lands in the fucking pond. It's like, Kevin, get my fucking club. Like, since you're the caddy, I'm not waiting in that fucking muck. You go get it. I'm paying you $20 to get my club. So I want to play this clip. I feel so bad for him.
But it was more than just a $51 copper-faced Billy Casper All-Pro sandwich that disappeared into that lake.
Get it.
It was my dignity.
Pardon?
You heard me. Bring it to me.
And suddenly I felt very alone.
Well, son?
It was up to me. I didn't have to go fetch. I could have told that guy what I thought of him right there, right then. But for some reason, at that moment, I heard myself utter four words I'd heard somewhere before.
Whatever you say, Ken.
So, after 18 holes spent counting future riches, it all came down to this.
You sink this one and you beat me, Arnold.
Here I was, up to my knees in mud, while my workaday dad was about to carry off the prize. It was the easiest putt he'd had all day. And he missed it by a good 3 feet. But that wasn't all. He missed the next one, too. Somehow, all of a sudden, I understood why.
So while Kevin's in that pond fishing out that club for Ken, Jack's got to make the last tee, and he could win, but he misses, and then he misses the next one. So he pretty much, Jack could have won, but I think it was just like, let's just make the boss happy, he's pissed off and everything, and that way we can just get this done and get the hell out of here. So, that, you know, Jack and Ken shake hands, everything's good. Kevin's now sitting on the bench with his sweet, sweet $20 bill. And Jack kind of comes up to him like, hey, you ready to go? And Kevin could save that 20 for something, put it towards a jacket like Mark's. But he's like, you know what, Dad? I'm going to treat you to lunch. And Kevin and Jack, you know, they have lunch together. Kevin buys his dad lunch, and it's such a sweet moment. I want to play this clip.
Ready? Get ready.
That day, I began to realize something about this man I was trying so hard not to be like.
How are you holding up?
I'm a little tired.
He understood the value of money and the cost of it.
It's too bad about that putt.
Putt's a putt.
Could have made it, Dad.
Maybe.
I guess Dad knew he could lose a game and still not lose his manhood. His pride didn't hinge on a stupid shot or some shiny new clubs. And I suddenly knew exactly what I wanted to use my money for.
Dad?
Whatever you say, Ken.
first time I ever really said thank you to the man for all he'd given me.
So, when Kevin says, I'm gonna buy you lunch, Jack just looks at Kevin and is like, whatever you say, Kevin. And they sit down and have lunch together, and the maitre d' is going to give, you know, Jack the bill. Probably, you know, customary to do that, but Jack passes up and like, no, he said he'll pay. I like how Kevin, you know, adult Kevin is just kind of saying how he had a lot of respect for his dad. He saw just how much it takes the hard work to earn that money. And just how his dad could have won that game and he chose not to because just, you know, I guess you gotta keep your boss happy. But it just, I like that Kevin just has an understanding of what it takes and the hard work that you put in to earn that paycheck. And Kevin just looking at his shirt is like drenched with sweat. I'm like, ugh. But overall, this was a good episode. I really liked that lesson for Kevin to learn about that. As far as my Flower Power episode rating, I'm gonna give it a 3 out of 5. I like Kevin kind of the guy Mark kind of putting it in Kevin's head. It's like, if you want to earn real money, don't just do it based on allowance because you're never going to get anywhere with that. Make your own money. So he puts that into Kevin's head. And I also like Kevin, you know, working in the yard and everything like that, but it was cool. But I really liked him busting his ass and learning what it means to really work hard for your money. And he earned that $20. I also liked at the end when he bought his dad dinner, or lunch, I'm sorry guys. I just thought that was a sweet gesture. What I didn't like, I did not like Ken. I thought he was a fucking asshole to Kevin. Just making the fact that he's throwing a goddamn temper tantrum, throwing his fucking club in the air. What if that had hit somebody? What if he had knocked someone unconscious with that fucking thing? He would be in a world full of fucking trouble. I don't like the fact that he forced Kevin to go into that pond to retrieve it. Like, you're my caddy, go in there and get my club out for me. It's just being such an unsportsmanlike asshole. I did not like that. And I did not like Ken belittling Jack in front of... I mean, Ken didn't know that Kevin was Jack's son, but even still, come on. I'm happy we don't see that guy after this. As far as Wonderling words of wisdom, just know that if you want to do more than just get an allowance, which I don't know, do kids even get... I think parents make things, you know, chores and stuff for kids to earn allowance and stuff like that. Which I'm sure Kevin had to have been doing something like that. He wasn't just giving him $2 a week for doing nothing. But just knowing that for your first job, you have to abide by someone else's rules. You may not agree with them. You may have a jerk for a boss, a manager. But you end up having to just deal with it and suck it up because it's either that or the unemployment line. Or you're fired and you're looking for another job. And if you don't want to be working under somebody, then start your own business. Be your own boss. But at least this is a good way. That's why I say fast food restaurants, that was my first job. That is a great job for kids to learn about being on time for a job. You're basically, you're working for another person and you're going by their rules. It teaches you discipline and basically how to stretch your money and learning what it means to really earn a paycheck. Because I think most places are every 2 weeks. So you're busting your butt for 2 full weeks to earn a paycheck. I had to work my share of fast food restaurant jobs, customer service jobs. And I'm fine with the job that I have now. It's not the dream job, but it's the job for right now. Alright, the next episode in the Jobs Wonder Years segment is going to be Season 5, Episode 3, entitled The Hardware Store, which aired on October 16th, 1991. Fed up with a low pay at his first regular job, Kevin decides to try for a job at the mall, where he can meet girls. He demands a pay raise, not expecting to get it, but when he does, he quits anyway. I want to read this other description here I really like for this episode. Kevin needs to get a job since the allowance his father is paying him doesn't go that far anymore. So he gets a job at Harris and Sons, a mom-and-pop hardware store. Kevin's boss, Mr. Harris, is very demanding and expects a lot from Kevin. After seeing another classmate working at a fast food place, Kevin thinks it looks like fun and wants to quit the hardware store. The only problem is, Harris makes it difficult to quit. He does not want to lose Kevin. So that being said, look forward to that episode next week. Have a great week, everybody.
Next on the Wonder Years.
Work's work.
You work here Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays.
Give me a break.
It sounds like fun. Working in a store, meeting people.
It's boring, it's hard work, and it's no fun.
Buck's a buck.
Do I really have to wear this tie?
Just prove to me that you're worth it. Sweep.
All I do here is move cartons from one shelf to the other and listen to you talk about hardware.
Old man's running your tail off, huh?
May I go home now?